Okay, it's chus to be here together to learn Torah on a Sunday morning. Something very, very special to take of our time to learn. Specifically in a week like this, as we prepare for the Heilig Yontif of Purim, people think we could just walk into Purim and we're going to tap into all the kochos of Purim and all the hislavas, all the passion, all the excitement, all the simcha. But to really tap in, you have to prepare. You have to prepare in Limud HaTorah and prepare to understand the pnimios, the depth of what the day is. You know, there's a famous story of a big chassid of the Baal HaTanya. His name was Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel, so one time he wanted to go to visit the Baal HaTanya, to visit his Rebbe in Liadi, but he lived far away and he couldn't afford to pay for the transportation. So he's asking around all over if anyone's traveling to Liadi, and finally this wine dealer happened to be traveling to Liadi to sell some wine. So he asked him if he has room that he could take him in his horse and wagon. And he says to Rav Shmuel, if you want, you can come with me. But the truth is, inside the wagon, where it's covered and it's warm, so that's already completely taken. I'm already taking some other people. I have no room in there. But if you want to hitch a ride on the back of the wagon, together with all the wine, no problem. There's room to sit there. Enjoy yourself. So Rav Shmuel really wanted to go see his Rebbe, so he agrees. But it's in Ukraine, and it's freezing cold, and they're traveling a long distance. And after a while, Imamish started freezing. He was really, really cold. So they stopped somewhere. And Shmuel Mamish was afraid if he'd continue on this journey, Mamish freeze to death. It's pikuach nefesh. So he goes to the wagon driver. He says, I know it's your goods. You're doing me such a favor to begin with just by taking me. But by any chance, do you mind if I drink a little bit of the wine? If I drink the wine, it will warm up my insides. And hopefully I'll be warmer, I'll be able to handle the journey. And the owner says, for sure, please help yourself. And he drank some of the wine. And Mamashi was warmed up. And he was able to handle the rest of the cold journey. And they make their way to Liadi. He goes to his Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. And he gives him a Shalom Aleichem. They talk for a few minutes. And then Rav Shmuel says to his Rebbe, okay, I'm going home now. And his Rebbe said, you're not staying longer? Usually when you come to see me, you spend Shabbos, we spend a lot of time together. He says, the reason I come to the Rebbe is to gain inspiration, to gain passion, to gain insight into how I'm supposed to be serving Hashem. Rebbe, MS is, this time, just on my journey, I feel like I gained enough inspiration to work with for now. Because on my journey here, I learned a lesson, a priceless lesson in Avodas Hashem. You see, I was on this wagon, surrounded by wine, but that wine was all b'chitzonius, on the exterior. And as long as it was on the exterior, it did nothing for me. It didn't warm me at all. Only the moment I started drinking some, it warmed up my whole inside, and Mamish had had an effect on me. I realized the same is true in spirituality and ruchnius. When it's something I'm just experiencing on the outside, it's not going to do anything for me. It has to be pnimis, it has to be inside. It has to be something really and real deep. And I have to go work on that. Just coming to the Rebbe it's a little bit chitzoniistic. And I'm going to go home and work on being pnimistic. I'm going to go work on changing my insides of who I am. So the truth is, the same as sometimes with a yantav like Purim. We come to a yantav, and all the time we enjoy the yantav when we're there. And we'll rejoice and enjoy the Mikra Megillah, Matan Salvioini, Mashachmanos, the Sudas Purim. But if the next day I'm the same exact person, if the next day is just a regular day, then seemingly it was all bechitonia, it was all just an exterior enjoyment, experience. We have to change our insides, we have to affect our panemius to make real, deep connections to the Rabbi Nishalom. So I want to learn an idea on Purim that hopefully we can take with us, and hopefully we can think about on Purim, to have a different Purim, a Purim that's going to change us, not just for Purim itself, but for the entire year. So So if you look inside, the first source is an Esther Perek Zayin, Psukim Gimel and Dalet. And here, we'll read a little bit from the Megillah. We'll see there's two very big questions we have to ask on the Megillah over here. This is a portion taken, we all know the storyline, from when Esther finally is actually going to plead from Achashverosh for her nation, for our nation. The pasuk of Atan Esther Amalka Vatomer, Esther answered and said, "Imitzasi chem beinecha amelech, v'im al amelech tov." Perek Zayin, pasuk Gimel. If you'll find favor in your eyes, it'll be good for you. You'll answer my request for myself, for my nation. What is that? Why am I coming to request? Because my nation has been sold to be killed out, to be wiped out, to be destroyed, annihilated. As we all know, Haman paid 10,000 coins to destroy us. And she continues, and here is a very strange line. If we were only being sold as slaves and maidservants, I'd be quiet. Because it wouldn't be worthwhile to the king. And what's the follow-up? I don't have it here. What does Achashverosh then say? We all know the words from the Megillah. Mihu zeh v'yezehu. Who is this? What are you talking about? So what are the two obvious questions? First of all, Esther Amalka, it's very nice, you're pleading on our behalf, great. You would only do that if we're going to be destroyed? What does it mean to say, V'ilu l'avadim v'shachos m'karnu ha'charashti? And if we were only being sold as slaves to a gullus like, for example, in Mitzrayim, you'd be quiet and sit back and let it be? It's only worthwhile trying to save us if we're being destroyed? Why is that? What is Esther Malka saying? I would be quiet if we were only being sold as slaves. And secondly, we read the story. We know the whole story of the Megillah. Achashverosh is the one who takes off his ring and gives Haman the permission to wipe us out. Why is he reacting? Like, who are we talking about here? You know good and well who Esther Malka is talking about here. Was there another nation being annihilated at the time? Like, what is going on? What a mihu zeh v'yezehu. So I saw an answer to all this from the Oyev Yisrael, the Apterav. It's a deep idea, but we're going to explain it b'derech avoda and how it could really, literally change our Purim. The Oyev Yisrael said he heard a story, a random story, nothing to do with Purim, which gave him pshat in this whole episode that we just discussed to answer our questions. It's a story, the name of Rav Shri Ragon. There was a very wealthy Yid, a very wealthy Jew, Gvir, and he had in his possession, besides for all his belongings and his luxurious lifestyle, he had a Sefer Torah that was written by Ezra HaSofer. I mean, just Sefer Torah from Ezra HaSofer. Priceless. Priceless. And this Yid, he was Nifter eventually, passes away. And he left over two sons. And the two sons, both of them, really deeply want this Torah. It's a priceless possession. A Torah written by Ezra Sofer. And they're arguing back and forth to no end. They finally decide they're going to go to Bezdin, they're going to go to a Dayan. And they're going to discuss, and whatever he says, they'll do. And basically, in the end, the Dayan basically told them, one of them was going to get the Sefer Torah, and one of them was going to get all the other possessions of the father. That would be even. And they agreed, and they were maskim. The one who got the Sefer Torah was really excited. Mamish to have this priceless possession. He kept it in a shul, in Aron Kodesh. Now there was a Rasha in the community. And this Rasha, it upset him that there was this Torah around. A Rasha really against Yiddishkeit and against Kedusha, doesn't want anything holy in the world. So what did he do? One night he hid in the shul. When everybody left and they locked up the shul, he stayed inside. And that night he took out the Sefer Torah. And he found in Pashas Mishpatim, he went and he took one letter, an ayin, and he erased it and turned it into an aleph. Very small, minute change. But as we know in the Sefer Torah, one letter passes all Sefer Torah. He passes all Sefer Torah. eventually, when they got up to this makom and they saw this, they were very upset. And this, the person who owned the Torah now was mamish distraught. Because even if they're going to fix it now, which they can, okay, they'll turn it back into, they'll erase the aleph and go back into the ayin. But that's going to be after written by a modern day sofer. No longer is the entire sofer from Ezra Sofer. No longer is the entire sefer from Ezra Sofer. He was very upset about this. That night, in a dream, his father came to him. And his father came to him and said, I know how upset you are, don't worry, it's okay. We're going to take care of it. I'm going to send Ezra Sofer down, and he himself is going to come, change the letter back, and all be good. And Kachave, they woke up in the morning, and they went and found the Sefer Torah, and it was already fixed by Ezra Sofer. The Abdur of Ayiv Yisrael heard this story, and he says, I have pshat in the Megillah. I have pshat in the whole story over here. What's pshat? He says, you know what must have been? When Haman came to Achashverosh, he didn't come to him to annihilate and destroy a nation. Why would Achashverosh want that? And why would Achashverosh be okay with that? But what did he say? He says, let me give you all this money. I want them to be my slaves. I want them to be my slaves. I want them to be my avadim. What's the word to annihilate us, to destroy us? La'abed. If you look here, in the second pasuk we learned, in pasuk dalet, la'abed, la'abed. If you change the aleph of la'abed to an ayin, the word turns into la'eved, for an eved. And Emma says, that's what Haman went to Achashverosh. He says, I want the Jewish nation to be my avadim. I want them to be our slaves, my slaves. And that's what Achashverosh agreed to. And then Haman went and switched around the whole decree from Le'eved and changed the ayin to an aleph, La'abed, to destroy. And after Rav said, now we can understand the whole entire episode. Why? Because Esther Amalka comes to Achashverosh and says, I need you to help me save my nation, they're going to be destroyed. If it was only that they were going to be slaves, I'd be quiet. We asked, why would she be quiet? You know why she'd be quiet? Because she understood that was what Achashverosh himself agreed to. Achashverosh was obviously okay with that. So she knew, how am I going to come to the king who ordered such a decree? He's not going to listen to me. He's not going to be okay with it. He was the one who wanted that. So she says, if it was Ilu La'avad Mishvachos, like you were okay with and wanted, Hecharashti, I'd be quiet, because surely that's, you're good with that, you want that. But now that we're being destroyed, that's why I'm coming to you. And what's his reaction? Muzev, Izu! What are you talking about? Because that's not what he initially agreed to. That's not what he okayed. So now we have a whole different idea. A whole different understanding in this Maisa. But then it says, what does this mean for each and every one of us? What does this mean for each and every one of us? It's an idea. It's a nice idea. It's interesting. Shkoyach. What's that going to tell me? How's that going to change my Purim? So listen closely, Chavra. You know, we know, the Gemara in Brachos, you have the second source here, that any time the Jewish nation or any individual is going through tsaris, is going through yisurin, is going through difficulty, so our avod is not just to sit back and cry and be down and out, but to do cheshbon hanefesh, to do self-introspection, and realize this is must be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a wake-up call, to change, to grow. The Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Hey, I'm a Rav of Itei Merav Chizda, Imroa Adam Shiyasurim Ba'inalav. If a person sees that difficulties are happening, Yifash Beish B'maisav, should do Yifash B'maisav, look into your actions. Search into your actions. And realize and recognize this is happening because of something you're doing. Try to change something about yourself. It's a wake-up call from Hashem. Shenemar Nach B'sa Derchenu V'nach Korah V'nashuv Ad Hashem. Nach B'sa Derchenu V'nach Korah. Search into our ways and understand them and return to Hashem. So we have to do Cheshbon HaNefesh. But you see, the question would be, you do Cheshbon HaNefesh, sometimes something lo aleinu is happening in one's life, and you start to do a cheshbon and nefesh, you start to do introspection. There's so many things in one's life that we could change. There's so many things that could do better. There's so much. How do I know how that yisurim, those difficulties, are connected to what am I supposed to be changing in my life? See, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu does an amazing chesed. See, he has to bring a punishment like a father does to a child at times, right? A parent has children, and when the children, lo aleinu, don't do what's right, so a parent has a role of a parent, it's the obligation of a parent to punish a child at times, to teach the child what's right, what's wrong, to allow that child to look in the mirror and improve and grow, right? Not out of hatred, chas v'shalom, out of complete love. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has complete love for us. He's our Tata in Hamel. He has complete love for us, and He wants us to grow. He wants us to be the best person we could be. So there are times when He has to bring Yisurim to us. Out of Ahava, out of love. But He goes a step further. The amazing Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that when He punishes us, it's always Mida Keneged Mida. It's always Mida Keneged Mida. And what's the great chesed in that? Knowing it's Mida Keneged Mida, knowing that the punishment suits the crime, allows us to look into the punishment, the Yisurim, and through that to help us understand where the tikkun, where the fixing is necessary, where the fixing is needed. The Hilga Alshich says this, if you look in the, just learning this Pazik in Tehillim, the next source on the sheet, the Pazik says, L'cha Hashem Chesed, Hashem, you are full of chesed, you're full of kindness. How do you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is full of kindness? Ki ata tishalem l'ish kimaseyo. So a bunch of people might have thought that meant you pay back people, you reward us based on our actions, that's kindness. That's already what we deserve. The Alshuch says, what's the kindness? Kindness means it's above what we deserve. What's the kindness? Here it's talking about pumfaker, it's talking about when we do wrong. That tishalem ish kimaseyo. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu pays us back according to our actions. Mida keneged mida. And the chesed in that, the Alshuch explains, is that we could look into that and we could understand what we've done wrong and be able to fix and grow and pay heed to the message that the Rabbanu Shalom is sending us to improve our life, which is what it's all about. To always be in a state of growth. Oh. In other words, what? So here, we're understanding in the Purim story that An element of the Gzeirah began and was based on somehow this ayin being flipped into an aleph. So we have to understand the depth of that. And understand in that midah keneged midah, what we need to grow, how we need to improve on the Halakha of Purim. So listen to this, mamish, unbelievable. You know, the truth is, every single punishment that we receive and all that we're going through in Galus for all of history brings us back on some level to the Chet of Eitz Hadas. Because it was only because of the Chet of Eitz Hadas that we're here today. If it wasn't for Chet of Eitz Hadas, we would have been in the world of Olam Haba. But Purim even more so, and I don't know Purim even more so, if you look over here, it's the eighth source on the sheet, on the back side. The Gemara in Chulin said, Haman min HaTorah minayin. Where do I find a source, a hint, a remez to Haman in the Torah itself, in Chumash? The pasuk in Bereishis, Hamin ha'etz. Hamin are the letters Haman. Hamin ha'etz, from the tree. What's the tree? The Eitz Hadas. So there's a connection between the Eitz Hadas and Haman. Svarim bring down, Haman was a reincarnation of the Nachash. So the Eitz Hadas connects deeply somehow to the story of Purim. How so? So listen to this. We're going to learn something that's going to sound like a very Kabbalistic Hasidic story, but it's Mamish just a Medrash, a Chazal. The Pasuk in Bereishis, after the Maisa of Chet Eitz Hadas, the Pasuk says, the sixth source on the sheet here, Vayas Hashem Elokim La'adam Leishto Kostnos Or Vayal Bishem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for us, after the Chet Eitz Hadas, He made for Adam and Chava clothing, leather clothing, Kostnos Or Vayal Bishem, and dressed them. We understand that prior to the Chet, we were so pure, so innocent, so perfect, so one with God and one with ourselves, that there was no need, we can't understand this in our lives, but there was no need for clothing. There was such perfection. There was no busha, there was no embarrassment. We were so pure and kadosh. It was only afterwards that there was a need for ksoinus or that Kadosh Baruch Hu created and gave us. So we shouldn't be embarrassed and we should protect ourselves and hide a little bit of ourselves, kind of, because of the impurities that fell upon us. Kusnus are. So if you look at the next source, it's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabba on this pasuk. Vayas Hashem Elokim LaAdam LaIshto Kusnus are VaYal B'Shem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava these leather clothing and clothed them. So what does the Medrash say? B'Torasso Shorav Meir, in the Torah of Meir, which seemingly means like Mamish, his copy of Torah. Matzo Kasuv, we find that it's written, Kasnos Or, clothing of Or with an Aleph, clothing of light. Rav Meir's Torah has, instead of Kasnos Or with an Ayin, Kasnos Or with an Aleph. So right away we're already starting to think, right? That we see here also, some sort of change from an Ayin to an Aleph, exactly like we find in the Megillah story, in the story of Purim. But let's bring it all together and understand. So comes along the Heilige Arizal, and the Arizal explains something very, very deep, very, very special in this Medrash, because he asked in this Medrash, it doesn't make any sense. What does it mean? Why would Rav Meir, again, if we learned, we just spoke about, and we know, that even one letter is changed in the Torah, the whole Torah is possible. So Rav Meir is going to come and change his Torah from an Ayin to an Aleph, possible up the whole Torah. What does it mean? What's going on? So the Rizal explains like this. You know, the whole entire avodah of each and every one of our lives in Ruchnius, in our relationship with Hashem, and truth is our whole tafkid achayim, our purpose in this world, is the following. Each and every one of us is made up, whether we're in touch or not, each and every one of us has an neshama, has a deeply spiritual soul, and that neshama, as the Baal HaTanya says, is chelek eloka mimal mamish, is literally part and parcel of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chelek eloka mimal mamish. It's a part of Hashem. Chelek eloka mimal mamish. That's the neshama. And then we have a guf, a physical body. To be in this physical world, we need a physical body that houses our neshama. Now the soul and the guf naturally are as far apart as possible. The neshama only wants to be close to Hashem. The neshama is literally close to Hashem. You know, each and every one of us, the Nefesh Chaim speaks about our soul. We say soul, but there are different parts of the soul. There's the neshama, there's the nefesh, there's the ruach. I'm sure we've heard these terminologies. And part of the neshama is within us. Part of the neshama is actually like above us. Tachas kisei hakavod. Right underneath the throne of Hashem. We're literally, through our neshama is how we're connected to Hashem. I once saw a very beautiful from Yaakov Meir Shechter. He's a big tzaddik. He's the biggest Breslov gadol in the world. He says, why is it, you know, that us as Yidden, when we daven, when we learn, we're always like swaying. We're always shuckling. See, Jews are always shuckling. So some say, we're trying to be mekayim, that there's a pasuk called Atzmoisei Tomarna. Called Atzmoisei Tomarna means with all our bones we should thank Hashem and praise Hashem, our entire body, not just with our words, but our whole essence. Truth is, how many people are thinking like that? You think most people are thinking like that when they shuckle? I don't think so. Maybe. It seems to be something natural, something that just occurs, something that just happens. Specifically, it's interesting when we're involved in davening and learning in Ruchnias. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter says something unbelievable. He says that really, as we just explained, our neshama is connected to the Kisei HaKavod. So if we would imagine that we're these beings that are here in this world, but like, if you could imagine this like Shasharis, this like chain from above us to the Kisei HaKavod. So if you have this entity that's on the bottom, connected by a chain to the Kisei HaKavod, up in Shemayim, so we're going to be constantly swaying and moving. Because Mamish, that's what happens when you have something on the bottom of like a rope. It's always moving and swaying. Because of the force of gravity. So to each and every one of us. Our swaying should remind us that we're mamish. Our neshama is deeply connected to Hashem always. We're chelek alakama mamamish. And that's what our neshama wants to learn. Our neshama wants to daven. Our neshama wants to do everything good for other people in our lives. Wants to be the biggest bali chesed in the world. Our neshama wants to just give and give and give and never be takers. Our neshama wants to nullify ourselves to help others, to be there for others, to be there for Hashem. Our neshama wants to be kulo ruchni, spiritual and perfect. Our guf, our physical body, is in essence on some level temporary. Our guf is the part that's going to stay and go 6 feet under Acher Mei Vasrim. Our guf enjoys, therefore, physical temporary pleasures. And our guf wants to enjoy good meals. And our guf wants to enjoy a lot of sleeping. And our guf wants to be involved in every type, every temptation under the sun. And what society and culture explains is like fun and enjoyable, which we all know is momentary, there for one moment, gone the next. That's what our guf wants. And our guf wants nice, you know, labels on our clothing, and our guf wants beautiful luxury cars, and our guf wants, that's what our guf wants, all temporary pleasures. And it's a constant milchama, constant battle between the neshama and the guf, the soul and the body. My Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Kohn, used to always explain to us that that's why the world is so infatuated with sports. We love sports. Many of us enjoy sports and we love watching sports. You break it down. What are you really watching? You're watching PlayStation, a basketball game. You're watching 10 people run back and forth, sweating, taking this like leather ball to throw it into a hole. Shkoyach! Like if you really break it down what it is, it's ridiculous that we enjoy this. What do we enjoy in sports? He said very beautifully. If you saw a game, imagine like this, you saw any NBA team, even the Knicks, right, play like a sixth grade help team. Nobody's going to enjoy that. It's going to be 300-0. Like when you have a blowout in a game, half the stadium's gone. What is the enjoyment in sports? Enjoyment is the competition within it. When it's a very close game and there's a competition, one team against another, and you're interested to see who's going to come out on top, and you're excited by that. It's not even a team that you enjoy, but if there's a competitive game, it gets our competitive juices moving, and we enjoy it. And why is it? Because the whole essence is competition. The essence of our being is that we have this competition within us, between our guf and our neshama. And the whole avod of life is what's going to win out. Are we going to be neshamadik individuals? Giving into our Baruch Hashem, being ruled over by our neshama, and that's what's covering us? Or are we, chas v'sholom, focusing on our guf? And yeah, neshama is there somewhere within, but our guf overrides our neshama. I'll never forget, you know, many, many years ago, I used to go very often to Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Baracha. He was actually Masada Gedushin at my grandparents' chasana, Rav Scheinberg. Everyone knows Rav Scheinberg wore so many tzitzis, but that was just something one of the things he did. L'maisi, he was a gadol adar, a tam chacham. My son, when he was a little 4 or 5 years old, he asked Rav Scheinberg, when I took him to him once, he said, "Why does Rebbe wear so many tzitzis?" Rav Scheinberg says to him, "Why do you have so many hairs on your head?" "To protect your head. This protects my body." So Scheinberg said to him. Anyways, one time I took a lot of Talmidim to Eretz Yisrael, and he gave like a 5-6 minute Musar Shmuz to them. It was very inspiring, remember? All he spoke about was this yesod, that you have to ask yourself, is your neshama over your guf or your guf over neshama? Where's your priority? What's leading your life? So now we have to look back at this whole maisa with Rav Meir. What was Rav Meir changing the R to R, the R of Ayin to an R of Aleph, in the clothing of Adam Arishon and Chava? See, Rav Meir was saying like this. R with an Aleph is light, but it's not just physical light. If we look in the Torah, the first time R, light, was introduced to the world, read Rashi, it's called the R Agonis. It's a very spiritual light. R represents Ruchnius. R represents the Torah, Kinemetz V'Torah R. R represents the proper guidelines of life. What guides us is the R, is the spirituality of Hashem, and connecting to Hashem always. Rav Meir was saying, I'm going to get back to that point. That's who Adam and Chava were supposed to be. And that's what my Torah is going to be. And that's who we need to be. Where our clothing, which is what defines us, is Or, is Ruchnius, is spirituality, is Kedusha. The problem of Chet Eitz Hadas and every sin throughout history is that we're focusing on the physical, which is represented by Ksonot Or with an ayin, leather clothing, materialistic, physical guf. That we're putting our guf over Neshama. What was the first sin? I'm going to eat something. I'm going to be physical over listening to the word of the Rabbanu Shalom. I'm going to give in to taiva. I'm going to give in to temptation. I'm going to give in to my guf over my Neshama. And that's what all of Purim was as well. What do we know about Purim? Why was the whole decree brought down? They went and they partied. They were being physical over what they should have been doing. That was a party celebrating destruction of Beis HaMikdash. They were being physical. They were giving into their guf over their neshama. Our avoda is to be spiritual, be ruchnis, to be neshama tekiyin over our guf. Now, of course, we're in a physical world. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be eating, or shouldn't be sleeping and enjoying ourselves, have beautiful family time. But all of that could be elevated by kedusha v'tahara. All of that could be elevated with a neshama mindset in a proper way. Rabbanu Shalom gives us guidelines how to do everything in our life. Lefi Torah, in a beautiful way. That's what the Torah is there. Everything can be filtered through Torah. Everything we do. There's nothing that can't. But we have to put our neshama over guf. Have the aura of an olive over the ayin. And seemingly that's what's being hinted to Meramis to us. The whole decree started because Haman region changed an ayin into an olive. We have to look into that type of change. Mida k'negi mida. And realize that's the change of our life. We have to flip that ayin into an olive. The ayin of Or, which is the physical clothing, to Or, to spiritual clothing. And that's what has to define us. That's who we have to be. What do we find at the end of Purim? The Yidden were besimcha, right? Because they were victorious, there was geula. But specifically, the pasuk points out, the most famous pasuk in the Megillah, that we all know, and we all said last night, La'yudim ha'isa, oira v'simcha. What led to the simcha? First, oira. They brought back the Or, they brought back the Aleph. Rav Leibel Eger explains, he was a grandson of Kiva Eger. It wasn't just they were besimcha. If they were besimcha because of geula, that's a simcha like anyone would have. That's a normal simcha. You're supposed to be destroyed and you are saved, of course we'll be besimcha. It was ora v'simcha. It was a reconnection to ora. It was a reconnection to Torah and to Hashem. After seeing Hashem at their side every moment through the whole storyline of the Megillah, I'm going to be reconnected to Ruchnius. In ora zutora. In ora la Torah zutora. It's a reconnection to Torah, and that brings the ultimate simcha. Because I'm going to be a neshama dikiyid. I'm not just going to be a physical Jew. I'm going to be someone who's guided by my spirituality. And that's the whole avodah. That's the pnimius of this storyline. If the whole decree, the gzeiro, was a flipping an ayin into an aleph, which Achashverosh was learning about now from Esther Amalka, we have to look into our lives and do chesh ben nefesh and flip our ayin into an aleph. We're going to be on Purim and we're going to enjoy Purim and sitting there by Megillah and sitting by our Suda and rejoicing in Besimcha. But if it's Layhudim Besimcha and not Oyer Besimcha, so it's a Simcha that's a physical Simcha, and the next day we'll be the same exact person. But if Layhudim, I say Oyer Besimcha, I'm bringing back the aleph into my life, the Ruchnis. I'm going to think about that on Purim. I'm going to look into my life and say, what in my life am I being too physical of an individual, focusing on the materialism, focusing on taivas? I have to focus on my ruchnis, I have to focus on my neshama, I have to focus on my davening, on my learning, on my chesed, on my life of my relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom. How much is the Rabbanu Shalom in my life? How much do I think of that, the Rabbanu? Even if I'm going through the mechanical mitzvahs, is the Rabbanu Shalom in my life? Is there an or in my mitzvah? Is there a light? Is there a simcha, sasum, vikar? That's what we have to be thinking about and elevate ourselves on a halig yantav of Purim. And it can't just be for the moment. If it's just for the moment, then it's a physical pleasure as well. And I saw a mashal, we'll end with this, a mashal from the halig of Divna Magid. The halig of Divna Magid. He brought down the following mashal. He said there was a Jew, there was a Yid, Ruvain we'll call him. And his friend Shimon came over to visit him. And Shimon sees this gorgeous, spectacular bird, multicolored that Ruvain has. He asked him, where'd you get this? I purchased it recently. How much was it? It's incredible. It's like 300 rubles. He said, I want to buy it off you. I need this bird. I'll pay you 1,000 rubles for it. Triple your money. 1,000 rubles. So Reuven could use the money. And that sounds like a great deal, but he realizes his friend wants it so badly. Maybe he's not going to settle just for 1,000. He says, you know what, you really want it? Okay, fine. 1,500 rubles. Now for 1,500 rubles already, Shimon wasn't so excited for this bird anymore. So they start going back and forth. He says, I'll give you 1,100 tops. Nah. Reuven's trying to hold out. He thinks he'll get his friend up. You know how business deals go. And as they're arguing back and forth about the price, the bird, who's sitting on like one of these birds, Zachim, whatever it was, flies away, flies out the window, and leaves. Goodbye, bird! And Reuven thinks to himself, that's it. There it goes. I just lost $1,100, 1,100 rubles, 1,000 rubles, whatever it was. If I would have taken the money right away, could have made myself money. Look what I did by arguing, by holding out. I just lost 1,000 rubles. So his friend said to him, Reuven, you didn't lose anything. You didn't lose anything. You didn't lose anything. Don't you understand? If that bird flew away, all balei chayim, all living creatures, they always want to be and they want to go towards where they really belong to be, where their home is. They're always going and traveling to their home, who they really are. If that bird flew away and went away from you, it meant he never should have been with you. He never was with you. You never had bilis. You never had ownership over the bird, really. It was never really yours. Don't feel bad. It was never really yours. He says, so too, the Divna Magid says, if we go through, we'll say, for example, Yontif like Purim. And we're Yontif like Purim. And on Purim, we're gevaldik, and we're enjoying, and we're one, and we're thinking about Hashem a little bit more. But then the next day, on Friday, we'll go back with the exact same person. We're not thinking about Hashem anymore in our life. We haven't elevated our ruchnis in any level. We're not a neshama degiyid more than we are a guf degiyid, any different than before Purim. We flew away. So then, sadly, we see who we really are right now. Now, deep inside, we're all full of Kedusha. That's what we're trying to tap into. But we're not in touch with it. It was all chitonius. It was all just wine on the outside. We didn't take anything to the inside. Mir Hashem, each and every one of us should have a beautiful freilich in Purim. Purim full of simcha for us, for our families. But should be a Purim where we do a little more introspection, a little cheshbon and nefesh. A Purim where we look into ourselves and say, if the whole beginning of the ma'isa happened from turning this ayin into an aleph, la'eved la'abed, do I need to turn my ayin into an aleph? It's me that can give you, do I have to turn my or into an aleph? Of or, the or of Rav Meir. Meir means to shine. Am I shining? Am I shining and being in Hashem HaDegiyid? Because Hashem, we shall be zoichet, simcha, to bracha, to closeness to Hashem, and realize when I feel close to Hashem, and I'm doing, that's how ultimately we know that this is a simchadik time, right? Mishnech Zad, the Marbim Simcha, and Purim's all about being freilich, being simchadik. Because ultimately, when I feel Hashem in my life, when I'm living with Hashem in my life, and when I'm living up to my purpose in the proper way, that's how we'll be most besimcha. Don't make any mistakes to think we're going to find it anywhere else. So, Mir Hashem, the only bracha I give you is just everyone should be zolcha to find the biggest simcha in your life for you, for your family, and the freilich, a beautiful Purim.